Well, it is a really great joy to be worshiping with you this afternoon, as always. And for me especially, to be sharing with you from God's Word. Today is a very special Sunday in the Christian year. And it's called Palm Sunday. And as we've already heard in the story, and we'll read again in a minute why it's called Palm Sunday. And one important thing that it marks is 1 week until Easter. And it's a Sunday where we speak about Jesus' kingship. And we've sung songs about Jesus as the king. We'll see that Jesus rides into Jerusalem and he's announced as the king. But there's a very sad twist to this story. So in this Sunday, Jesus is announced as king. And by Friday, he will be crucified by the very crowds of this same city. Because he does not fit the kind of king that they think he should be. But what we will see is that this is part of God's plan. Jesus came to his own people, to the Jewish people. But for the most part, the Jewish people rejected him as their Messiah. But in God's wisdom, this was part of his plan to bring salvation to all people. And for the Jewish people of Jesus' day, it seemed that they wanted their king to solve their problems that were outside of themselves. But God knew that it was more important for them to win the victory over their sin problem first. And this is a really important message for us to hear. Because we always think we know what we need. Or maybe not always, but often. But God always knows better. And God has made a way for all peoples of all races and all backgrounds to be reconciled to himself.
Dievas padaro galima visų tautų žmonės turėti tą atleidimą ir grįžimą pas Dievą.
So I would like for us to read again the story, but this time from the book of Matthew.
Ir šį kartą noriu perskaityti tą istoriją iš Mato Evangelijos.
We'll read from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11.
Mato 21, 1-11.
And I'll read in English and then we'll do Lithuanian. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So first, we'd like to share a few observations from the book of Matthew. In the context of the book of Matthew, this is the beginning of what we call Holy Week. Now, if we look at the Gospels, the four books that are biographies of Jesus, they're called Gospels. There are 89 chapters in these books total. And out of those 89, 29 chapters, about one third of the books are about Holy Week.
Ir iš tikrųjų, net trečdalis 26 skyriai kalba būtent trečdalis visų evangelijų apie šitą savaitę, šventą savaitę.
So interestingly, only two of the Gospels tell us about Jesus' birth.
Iš tikrųjų, tik dvi evangelijos kalba apie Jėzaus gimimą.
But all four of the Gospels devote a very large portion of their writing to these 8 days of Jesus' life.
Bet visose evangelijose randame labai daug kalbama apie šitas 8 dienas Jėzaus gyvenimo.
And in addition to Jesus' death and resurrection, these chapters cover a lot of teachings that Jesus gave in the last week of his life.
Be mirties ir prisikėlimo istorijos mes randame taip pat labai daug pamokymų, kuriuos Jėzus per šią savaitę duoda.
So the first observation from the story that we read is that Jesus shows supernatural knowledge.
Iš tikrųjų, iš pirmo, ką mes čia atrandame, kad Jėzus parodo tokį ypatingą žinojimą.
He knows that there will be a donkey.
Jis žino, kad bus asilaitė.
With a colt with it. Colt, a younger donkey.
Su mažu asiliuku.
So this shows that he is at least a prophet.
Tai pirmiausias dalykas, jis mažiausiai yra pranašas.
But of course, we will find out that he is much more than a prophet. Now, this is the colt of a donkey that has never been ridden before.
Ir mes žinome, kad tai yra asilaitis, kur niekada nebuvo iki šiol jojama su juo.
So if we think about this for a minute, if you have a donkey or a horse that's never been ridden before, and someone's going to try to ride it, and there's going to be lots of shouting and waving branches and throwing things on the donkey.
Ir jeigu dar įsivaizduotumėt, kad aplinkui bus daug triukšmo, rūbų, kuriuos met ant žemės, šakų, palmių, kur yra mėtoma.
This doesn't look like it's going to go well.
Netrodo, kad gerai viskas praeis.
So I'm not the expert. We have Rimante, who's the expert. But I don't think you need to be an expert in horses to know that this is not going to go well.
Būti ekspertu tikriausiai arklių žinojimo, kad tai nebus paprasta.
So what this shows us is that Jesus successfully is able to tame the wild forces of nature.
Mes matome, kad Jėzus sugeba sutramdyti tą gyvūną, laukinį gyvūną.
It's like when he calmed the storm.
Taip jisai nuramina audrą.
When he heals diseases.
Kada jis išgydo ligas.
And even when he casts out demons. So the next thing is that they lay their coat, their cloaks on the donkey, their coats.
Kitas dalykas, jie dėjo rūbus savo ant asilo.
And they throw branches, palm branches on the ground.
Jie metė palmių šakas ant žemės.
And also spread their coats on the ground.
Ir taip pat rūbus sudėjo ant žemės.
So that the donkeys can walk on this. This is a way of humbling themselves and showing honor to this king who is on the donkeys. So these actions are very dramatic and symbolic. And the symbolism is very important. None of this is a practical matter. It's not that Jesus needs to ride on a donkey to get into Jerusalem. Instead, Jesus is coming into the city and he's being presented as the king.
Bet jisai įeina tokiu būdu, kad jis būtų pristatytas kaip karalius.
A king coming into the capital city of his people.
Taigi karalius ateina į savo sostinę pas savo žmones.
Now there are two quotations from scripture in this passage.
Čia yra dvi citatos iš šitame vietoje.
Matthew observes how this scene reminds him of Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9.
Pirmiausia mato evangelistai mato, jisai mato, kad tai jam primena Zacharijos 9 skyrių.
And also the people shout praises to Jesus that are taken from the 118th Psalm.
Ir po žmonių šūksniai yra paimti 118 psalmas.
These are verses that we read earlier. But let's hear them again. So verses 25 and 26 from Psalm 118.
118
psalm, 25 and... Yep, good, got it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. So these verses, they say, Lord, save us, save us. And this is what the people are saying. This is what Hosanna means. It means, please save. Well, why are they shouting, please save? Save us from what? Well, from the Romans. These pagan Romans have oppressed the Jews for over a century. And before that it was the Greeks. And before that it was the Persians. Before that the Babylonians. These pagan Romans have taken their money, their taxes. They've taken their people to work as forced laborers. They make use of their land. They are occupiers. They are oppressors. And they have taken away also the dignity of these people. And what's more is that the Romans and the Roman gods ruling over the Jews brings shame to the God of Israel. So when these crowds shout these verses from Psalm 118, they are hoping that their coming anointed king will save them. But what does Matthew say about this scene? Matthew says that it reminds him of Zechariah chapter 9. So first we'll read verses 8 through 10 of Zechariah 9. It says, I will camp around my house because of an army, because of him who passes by and returns. And no oppressor will pass over them anymore. For now I have seen with my eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So in these verses, we see that the king comes to protect his people. And it says that the king is coming on a donkey. And this symbolizes that he is coming to his people in peace. If he were coming riding on horseback or in a chariot, then that would mean he's coming for war or to oppress. So he comes to speak peace to his people. But not just for his people, but for all nations. And it says that in verse 10, he will speak peace to all nations. And that his dominion will extend through the whole world. So what we see from these two passages from the Old Testament is that there's a little bit of a disconnect or a conflict between what the people think they need and what God knows that they need. The people have in mind the kind of king that they think they need. It'll be someone to free them from the Romans. They believe that their greatest problem is outside of them. But they are unwilling to recognize that they themselves need to make peace with God. They don't recognize that they need salvation first from their sinful nature. And this is why the same crowds turn on Jesus later in the same week. On Sunday, they're shouting, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the one who is coming in the name of the Lord. And they're calling him the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. They're calling him their King. But by Friday morning, they are calling for him to be crucified. And they're asking for a different freedom fighter to be released. Barabbas. Well, so what are the two things, or two or three things that are most important for us? What this passage teaches us is that salvation and new life is not from the outside inward, but from the inside outward. God has to deal with the sin problem in his people first. And that is what Jesus came to do when he came the first time. Unless he deals with the sin problem first, political liberation is not going to make them a more holy or a more just or a more flourishing people.
nepadarys jų labiau dvasingais arba geresniais žmonėmis.
I think that too often we're tempted to feel like the Jews in this story.
Mes kartais labai dažnai jaučiamės taip pat kaip tie žydai šitoje istorijoje.
To believe that our greatest problem is the circumstances that we are in.
Mes kartais tikime, kad didžiausia problema yra aplinkybės, kuriuose mes esame.
We feel like kind of life washes over us.
Atrodo, kad gyvenimas užplūsta mus.
There's our family circumstances,
mūsų šeimos galbūt situacija,
lack of money,
pinigų trūkumas,
political messages,
kažkiek politinės įtampos,
ideas,
mintis,
advertising,
reklamos,
sickness,
lygos,
political oppression,
politiniai kažkokie apribojimai.
All of these things are coming in from outside of us, onto us.
Visi tie dalykai iš išorės užplūsta mus.
And this or that outside force is oppressing me and preventing me from living a life of holiness and flourishing. But Jesus knew that in order to save his people, he had to die himself to accept on himself the guilt of their sins.
But Jesus knows that in order to save his tuos žmonės jam tenka mirti, kad galėtų jų nuodėmę prisimti ant savęs.
So that they could make peace with God.
Kad jie turėtų taiką, būtų sutaikyti su Dievu.
Or it's better to say that God is making peace with us.
Arba dar geriau pasakyti, kad Dievas turėtų taiką su mumis.
And he did all of this so that afterward they would be free to live the lives that God intended for them.
Jėzus padaro visą tai, kad jie būtų laisvi vėliau gyventi gyvenimą tokį, kokį Dievas yra numatęs jiems.
The life of flourishing that we can live regardless of what washes over us.
Kad galėtume gyventi gyvenimą, kuris yra pilnatvėje, nežiūrint, kas ant mūsų užgriūtų.
So salvation is from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Taigi išgelbėjimas yra iš vidaus į išorę, o ne iš išorės į vidų.
And the second point is that God's salvation is for all nations.
Kitas dalykas, kad Dievas gelbėjimas visom tautom.
And this is not just a salvation that says, come on in to God's people as you are and no changes are necessary.
Ir tai nėra, kad ateikit visi žmonės, kokie jūs esate ir jokių pasikeitimų nereikia.
Rather, this is God's invitation into his people, an invitation that transforms us.
Tai nėra taip. Daugiau tai yra Dievo pakvietimas link savęs, besikeičiantis pakvietimas, kur Dievas mus perkeičia.
So let's go back to Zechariah 9 and read the three verses that come before those three verses that we just read.
Zecharija ir 9 skyriaus ir 3 eilutės.
So verses 5-7.
5-7 eilutės.
So, and the names of most of these cities that are mentioned are the Philistine cities. The cities of the eternal enemies of the Israelite people. This is what it says. Ashkelon will see it and be afraid. Gaza too will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, for her expectation has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon will not be inhabited. And a mongrel race will dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. Ah, sounds bad. And I will remove the blood from their mouth and the detestable things from between their teeth. Then they will be a remnant for our God and be like a clan in Judah, and Ekron, like a Jebusite. So some strange things in these verses. So when it talks about the blood, removing the blood from their mouths, and awful things from between their teeth, he's not talking about flossing. This means that they will no longer be worshiping pagan gods. Because worship of these gods, unlike Israelite worship, involved eating sacrifices with the blood in them.
Garbinimas tų dievų buvo taip pat traukiamas toks ritualinis maisto valgymas, kuris buvo su krauju.
So that the point is that they will no longer be worshiping idols.
Mintis tokia, kad jie daugiau nebegarbins stabų.
And doing things which are bad for them and are destructive.
Nebedarys dalykų, kurie yra blogi jiems ir griaunantys.
And things that are displeasing to the God who created them.
Dalykų, kurie nepagerbė Dievą.
God is going to change their hearts and make them like part of his people. And he says they will be like a remnant, a tribe among Israel.
And
this is really surprising to read. Given how much hatred there was between the Israelites and the Philistines.
Yes, žinant, kiek buvo neapykantos tarp izraelitų ir filistiniečių.
But this is so important because it shows us how God is bringing in people from all nations.
Bet tai yra svarbu suprasti, kad Dievas surenka visas tautas prie savęs.
And in the Gospel of John tells us that this was part of God's plan all along.
O Jono evangelijoje mes randame, kad tai yra dalis Dievo plano.
So now we'll read from John chapter 1, verses 9 to 16. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but from God. So to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. These are the people who are born of belief. Not from flesh and blood, part of God's people. Not physically descended from Abraham. Not like me, because my dad's Jewish. We have no special advantage. All those who trust in Jesus and recognize him as our King, male and female, Jew and non-Jew, whatever background or nation you come from, all of us can become children of God. And each of us can be reborn of the Holy Spirit so that our hearts will be transformed. So this passage also points us ahead to a future hope.
Ir šitos eilutės parodo mums ir ateities viltį.
I said when Jesus came the first time, he came on a donkey.
Tai Jėzus ateina pirmą kartą, jis ateina asilaičiu.
Well, he will come again.
Jis ateis ir antrą kartą.
And he's not going to be on a donkey this time.
Bet šį kartą jau nebesu asilaičiu.
He's going to be on a horse.
Jis bus ant arklio.
And when he comes on a horse, he comes to judge and to save. When we read the book of Revelation, chapter
19,
we see the Messiah coming on a white horse, riding in on this horse to do battle with the forces of evil. So God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came first to us to bring peace. And not just for the Jews, but for all people. But if we do not accept him when he has come first on a donkey to make peace, then we are going to be on the wrong side of history when he comes on a horse.
Tada mes būsime toj blogoj pusėj istorijos, nes kada jau ateis jisai ant arklio, bus per vėlu.
But the good news, the really good news, is that if we humble ourselves now and turn to Him, He will accept us. He, no matter what we've done, whatever our sins, whatever our inward sins or our outward sins, whatever our background might be, whatever circumstances wash over us, God will make us one of His people. And He will transform us so that when those circumstances of life wash over us, we will be firm and kept in Him. So we should take heart. We should be courageous and be comforted. Because God knows what we need. God knew what His people needed. And He knows better than we know for ourselves. And God has made a way for us to have fellowship with Him. To be holy. And to live eternal life. Amen.